Amen. Amen. Sirs, I believe that as I was standing up in the top watching us worship together, I believe that is the truth that some of us need to latch on to today. The death cannot have a hold on you if he has you in his hands. That's good news for us. That's great news. And so today what I want us to do is just collectively take a deep breath and relax into the presence of God and be reminded that where God is present, anything is possible. Amen. God, thank you that you're here, and we listen in, we lean in closely to hear what your Spirit is already speaking to us. You are welcome here, Lord. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's so good to see you today. Get a little situated here. There we go. I still remember the look on his face after he said those words. The words he spoke just kind of hung in the air. I couldn't believe he said them. So the anger was started to well up from my toes all the way to the top of my head. It was in Illinois. It was the first church I was ever on staff with. And I was a young 20-something who knew everything, trust me. But we had some leaders in our church, one guy in particular, that liked to be the poke. You know, like, any time there was something that he could, like, criticize, or, like, he was just poked. And we were in my office in that moment, and the pastor and myself and a few of our leaders, and we were talking about some things going on in the church, and he poked big time. And it hurt. It hurt a lot. So much so that 20 years later, I can still feel those feelings that I had. It changed a lot of different things. It changed the course of the pastor's family, and it changed our family, and it changed that church. Not necessarily what he said, but kind of the things that happened afterward. And I remember about 5 years later being in a church service much like this one, and the pastor stood up and talked about forgiveness. And it was like the Holy Spirit dropped his name right back into my heart. And I said, no, no, I'm not forgiving him. He hurt me, and he was wrong, by the way, in case you forgot, Lord. He was wrong. I had trouble for years forgiving him. Eventually, I was able to move forward in that, but it was hard. And what shocks me looking back wasn't that I was hurt. That's life. We all get hurt. Things happen in life. What shocked me was the pride within me that started to well up that said, oh, you can't let go of that because you were right. We all know what this is like. Maybe it was a parent, a spouse, a friend who walked away, a child, a teacher, somebody who hurt you. And it doesn't matter if that was last week or if it was 5 decades ago. It's amazing how much that pain can hold on to us. And yet, in the midst of that pain, and I'm not saying that it is your fault, please don't hear that, but in the midst of that pain, all of a sudden, pride can start to well up. This pride that starts to well up, and it's not real loud, shouty, it's whispering. You can't let them off the hook. If you forgive them, they get away with this. They should be coming to you. We want to forgive, but our heart won't budge. But here's the reality. We also want freedom. And I believe whether you are actively following Jesus right now or not, we all want freedom. We may define it differently, but we all want some sort of freedom in our life to not feel tied down by different things, but we find ourselves stuck in unforgiveness. And I have found this equation to be true. I'm not big on math, but this makes sense to me. Pain plus pride equals unforgiveness. When we've been hurt, and we hold on to that so tightly, and we hold on to the right to judge and be that person, we end up stuck in unforgiveness. Holding it over somebody else, but the reality holding it over ourselves and keeping us from living into freedom. Today, we're going to continue our Unstuck message series. And in this series, we've looked at a variety of different ways we find ourselves stuck in life. Sometimes it's our heart, our mind, our mouth. And today, we're going to look at this idea of unforgiveness. And the good news that we're going to find today is that forgiveness doesn't begin with our effort. It begins with what God has already done. It's not about trying harder. It's about anchoring our story to Christ's story. And so we're going to be reading the words of the Apostle Paul. He wrote most of the New Testament, and we're going to be in the book of Colossians. So if you have your Bible with you, you can turn to Colossians. It is in the New Testament. Our students have been bringing their Bibles, and I love it. But here's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then here's your Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go eat popcorn. You can remember it now, right? I do it in my head all the time. Go eat popcorn. Colossians 2, beginning in verse 12. And it says this, "Having been buried with Christ in baptism, you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross." A little context here. Colossians, Paul is writing a letter to the Colossian church. And the Colossian church has been having some arguments about, well, what do followers of Jesus really need to do? And some of them are saying they need to follow the Jewish custom of circumcision. We are not talking about circumcision today, and there was much rejoicing. I will let Pastor Kent cover that one. Today, we are talking about baptism. And we're going to look at this idea of forgiveness and how it ties in with baptism. In baptism, we see a pattern: buried, forgiven, and raised. And this pattern will help us get unstuck from unforgiveness. Oftentimes when we talk about baptism today, we talk about it like a symbol, like a picture, like it's just going through kind of this ritual where there's really not much to it other than that it's showing us something. It is absolutely showing us something. But baptism is so much more than just a ritual. Baptism is what some would call a means of grace. It's a way of receiving the very grace of God. Something is happening in that moment, in the spiritual world, that is changing us. And we're going to look at that change today. If we look specifically at verse 12, it says, "Buried with Christ, and you were also raised with him." This is not just picture language. This is participation language. Language of participation, that something is happening here. You have been buried with Christ, forgiven by Christ, and raised with Christ. Again, not just a picture, it's God's grace at work in us. And the great news is that grace doesn't just save us. Grace empowers us, allows us, helps us to live in the way that Jesus wants us to live. It's his grace that comes alongside us and works within us to allow us to take those steps with him. And so let's break this down, and we're going to begin where Paul began. Christ buried it, so don't carry it. And that sounds a little overly cutesy, but what I mean by this is not that Christ buried the pain or the memory of what happened or the truth of what happened. That is not the "it" in "Christ buried it." Those things are very real. But what Christ has buried is the old self. The old self with patterns of anger and bitterness and unforgiveness and maybe even fear. The old self that has gone under the water in baptism is buried with Christ. Jesus doesn't bury the event. He buries the identity that we have formed around it. Romans 6 puts it this way. It's very similar. Beginning in verse 3. "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. When you were baptized, for those of you who have been baptized, when you were baptized and you went under the water, the old self stayed behind. You were made a new creation when you came out of the water. Christ has buried the old you. So why are we still carrying around what belonged to that person? My wife and I have moved across state lines 3 times. And right now, this very moment, in our basement, are at least 5 boxes that have been packed since we moved here 9.5 years ago. You giggle because I'm not the only one in this room that has that, right? There are probably maybe 1 or 2 of those boxes that wasn't unpacked when we moved to Texas 8.5 years earlier. We just keep, like, collecting this stuff. We haven't gotten rid of it. We have had garage sale after garage sale. Have we sold it? No. We haven't even opened the box. I'm not sure what's in it. But we just carry it around with us from place to place to place, and it's there taking up space in our basement. Isn't this the way we kind of sometimes live our lives? We carry things around from place to place that don't fit in our life anymore. We have this new life in Christ, and yet for some reason we want to just drag this stuff around. This anger, this bitterness, this pride, all these different things, we want to just drag it around with us and just kind of keep carrying it. Well, these are my boxes. Again, forgiveness is not pretending that things didn't happen. We're not just ignoring things. But what we are saying is that we're not going to live from the wounded identity, that our identity is going to be found in Christ and not in the pain. We're not going to be shaped anymore by the pain or the pride that says, I can't forgive. We're going to be shaped by grace, a grace that will heal what hurt you. Now, that may take years to do, but I do believe that God's grace will heal what hurt you. I mean, imagine your life right now. If you could live free, like whatever your picture of freedom is in your mind, what would that look like? And we talk about forgiving people and holding that unforgiveness. I've said it before, oh, I could never forgive them. Would you allow the grace of God to soften your heart and begin to unlock your fingers from that? Because it keeps us stuck and not able to live that life of freedom that we want to live. Christ forgave you, so forgive them. He forgave you, so forgive them. And that sounds really easy, doesn't it? Oh, well, he forgave me. I'll just forgive them. Forgiveness is messy, isn't it? And very rarely is it a, well, this person hurt me, so I'm going to go to this person and say, you hurt me, but I forgive you. And they're going to say, oh, I'm sorry. Let's hug it out, and life is grand. Does that really happen? No, it doesn't happen. It's messy. You may not be able to actually talk to the person. It may not actually be a good idea to talk to the person you need to forgive, but your heart needs to let go of that. Your heart needs to let go of that pain that you are holding on to and allowing to shape you still today. We're going to unpack verses 13 and 14 as we look at this idea of Christ forgave you, so forgive them. Verses 13 and 14. When you were dead in your sins. This reminds me of Romans 5:8 that says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to get ready for him or cleaned up. He died for us while we were a mess. This idea of sins right here, the word sins in Scripture can be translated from a variety of different words. We take all these words that mean sin and we translate them as sin, but there's a lot back behind that word in the original language. This word in particular in this passage for sin means willful disobedience. If you have a toddler, you know what I'm talking about. It's cute-ish when they're toddlers. You know, 2, 3, 4. When they're 12, 13, 14, not so cute. 42, 43, 44, ooh. Willful disobedience. But here's the thing about willful disobedience. We knew it was wrong, but we did it anyway. I'm not alone. We chose our own way. We did it our way. And yet, Christ died for us. He forgave all our sins. Not just some of them, all of them. Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness. This phrase right here is making an imagery thing with Greco-Roman culture. In that culture, there was this literal written out record of debt that could be taken to the authorities to say, this is what so-and-so has done or what they owe me. Can you imagine all of the things, like when people ask us, people like at CIY, the kids were asked to write down some of their sins. That is like the most torturous thing, isn't it? Well, I might have done this at some point. No, imagine if it was like, you did this on June 23rd at 2:35 in the afternoon. Like, imagine that list. That's terrifying. But picture that list, and Christ takes it and he nails it to the cross. But it wasn't a list that was nailed to the cross. It was Jesus' very body. Nailed to the cross so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be made right with God. And that humbles the pride in us like nothing else. Forgiveness is not sentimental. Forgiveness is costly. It's decisive. And in Christ it is done. It is finished. He has taken it away. Thanks be to God. We forgive because we know how much we've been forgiven. The old nature has been buried with Christ. But we have to be really clear what forgiveness is not. Again, forgiveness is not pretending it didn't hurt. It's not saying it was okay. It's not restoring trust right away or maybe even at all. It's not removing boundaries. And it's not minimizing the wounds. A simple definition of forgiveness is releasing the right to be the judge. Because when I look at the cross, I see I did not deserve that. And the person who I need to forgive, maybe not deserve it either. But if I'm going to forgive as Christ has forgiven me, I'm going to release the right to be the judge. The Greek word here for forgive shares a root with the word grace. We keep coming back to grace time and time again. And when we see this idea of sin and grace, I think sometimes we see sin as this pile of stuff, my boxes in my basement. And we see grace as like a blanket that just kind of covers them over. Grace is so much more than a blanket that covers over sin. Grace is a power. It is the presence of God in and with you, allowing and empowering you to walk in the way he has called you to walk. It's not about trying harder. Has anybody else other than me gotten stuck in the try harder cycle? Oh, well, it's not working. Try harder. Well, maybe I should go in a different... No, you just need to try harder. And so you have this person you're trying to forgive, and you really just don't really want to forgive them if you're honest with yourself. But you're like, I need to forgive them. And so you try, and it's not working. And so try harder, and you furrow your brow more, right? That helps. And it doesn't ever work. That's the good news of what we see in baptism. It's not just something we're doing on our own. It is Christ at work in and through and with us so that we can actually take those steps, so we can actually move forward. Because Christ has raised you. It's time to live free. He has raised you. Having been buried with Christ in baptism, you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. Forgiveness is not willpower, it's resurrection power, which is not something we can produce on our own. It is Christ who has raised us with him, and we are able to live in that resurrection power. The phrase, through your faith in the working of God, literally means power. Romans 8:11 says, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. The spirit of God living in you, follower of Jesus. And that can be a terrifying thought, but at the same time, extremely comforting and extremely beneficial to us. Because I can't do it on my own. But his spirit is with us. His grace is empowering us to move forward. We don't forgive because we're strong. We forgive because Christ is alive in us. We don't forgive because we feel like it. We forgive because we're free. And we want to live in that freedom. Forgiveness is how resurrected people live. Because we have been buried with Christ, forgiven by Christ, and raised to walk with Christ. You are raised, even if you are learning how to walk. You're raised, even if you're still learning how to walk. I wish I could tell you that when we receive Jesus, start to follow him, that it's like, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, and it's just like, going, and we're good. But we know that's not the way life works. It's a process of learning how to put aside that old self and walk in the new creation that he's created us to be. It's that process, fancy word, sanctification, learning how to follow Jesus. But it's not on our own. It's with him. And so those steps may be unsure. They may be falling at times. But you are raised even if you are still learning how to walk. My oldest daughter, Maisie, is in college now, but when she was in elementary school, I tried to teach her how to ride a bike without training wheels. And I failed miserably. Like, we were getting to the point where she was so big, I couldn't find bikes that had training wheels still that would work for her. And I'm really getting concerned that, like, the smart kid is never going to learn how to ride a bike. And so I kind of gave up. And we had a guy in our church named Ron. He was a retired pastor who liked to bike. And so Ron, I went to him and said, okay, you and Maisie have this fun little friendship. If you want to teach her how to ride a bike, be my guest. So Ron took her to the school parking lot. And I wasn't there for most of the times they were meeting, but I know that he was doing, I had done this, and he did it, and it worked. He would hold on to the seat, and he'd guide her, and they'd go, and he wouldn't let go. And maybe after a while, he'd kind of give her a push, and she'd fall over, and he'd pick her back up and say, okay, let's try it again. And she'd turn the wrong direction, and it wouldn't work, and he'd pick her back up, try again. Isn't that exactly what the Holy Spirit does in our lives? Right alongside us. Oh, we got off track. Let's get back on track. Let's get back on track. So often I think we go this like, oh, I should be further along by now. I shouldn't be having trouble with forgiveness. It's a process. And even if you are still learning how to walk, you are a raised person if you are in Christ. Keep taking next steps, even when they feel shaky and uncomfortable. We talk about next steps a lot around here, and it's not just because we want to get people involved in things. We want to see people take those next steps. Those next steps that sometimes feel awkward and feel like you're out of balance, but those next steps that lead us closer to Jesus and the way he is calling us. And so today, I believe there are some next steps. As we've been using this pattern of buried, forgiven, and raised, and talking about baptism as more than just a picture, but God's grace that comes alongside us, empowering us to live this new creation life. For some of us, we need to remember our baptism. We need to remember that moment. It was more than just something you did in a tank of water. It was something that God did in, through, with, and he is still doing in you. Do you remember your baptism? Do you remember the temperature of the water? Some of you have some stories on that. Do you remember what it felt like? Do you remember the smiles? I hope you had people celebrating that. Do you remember that? When you went into the water, you were changed. For some of us, we need to be baptized. Maybe you've been following Christ for a while or just recently decided to start following him and you have not yet been baptized. And you've told yourself, I don't need to worry about this right now. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Do you want the grace of God coming alongside you? This is an opportunity for you to experience that. So there are a couple options here. Number one, you could go onto the hub, text INSPIRE to 94,000, and sign up for baptism. We'll do them in a couple weeks at the end of the month, or 3 weeks at the end of the month. Or you can be baptized today, like literally in about 6 minutes. And I know that sounds like, whoa. Obedience does not require us to sit and wait. Sometimes it requires us to say, next step, I'm going to take it. So if that is you, if you are saying, I need to be baptized today, Pastor Nate's back at the For the One wall. We had two in the first service who did this with us. So if you need to be baptized today, go back to Pastor Nate. He will get you set up so we can baptize you here in the next 5 minutes or so. And we will celebrate what Christ is doing in you. And for all of us, for every one of us, it's difficult to talk about forgiveness and unforgiveness because we all know what it's like to be hurt, to deal with those things in life that we want to hold on to and to not release them. But if we're honest with ourselves in this moment, there are those things, if we're holding on to unforgiveness, that is literally keeping us stuck in our walk with Jesus. And as hard as it is, today might be the day where we need to set ourselves free from unforgiveness. What are you carrying that was buried with Christ? That old nature. What are you carrying still? It may not be unforgiveness. It may be a fear, a bitterness, an anger. What are you carrying that needs to be buried with Christ? Who do you need to forgive as Christ forgave you? Whose name is coming to mind even right now? And like my story from Illinois, you're going, I don't want to forgive them. Who do we need to receive the grace of God to release, to forgive? And where is the Spirit leading you toward freedom? What would freedom feel like for you? I believe freedom is the ability to act and react as the person God created us to be. Fully confident in our identity, not in pain, not in our accomplishments, but in Christ. To live that kind of life, where we're not bound by those things anymore. Again, it may be just a one little step, but what would that step look like? You see, this isn't about even us as individuals. This is what God is doing in all of us together. That we together have been buried with Christ in baptism. We have been forgiven by Christ. And we have been raised with Christ. So today, as you watch these be baptized, when they go down into the water, I want you to be reminded that Christ has buried the old self. For real. This is not just like a, oh, yeah, it's a nice pretty picture. No, Christ has buried the old self. And when they are raised out of the water, they are a new creation. Christ really does raise us to new life, where forgiveness flows, grace reshapes, and the Spirit empowers us to do what we could never do on our own. Baptism really isn't just their moment. It's our moment together to be reminded of this God who loves us, who has buried the old self, who's forgiven us, and who has raised us to walk with him, not by our own effort, but by his grace. So let's be a people who don't stay stuck. Let's be a people who live in freedom, who release the bitterness and anger and unforgiveness. And again, today, I challenge you, just take one step. You don't have to take all of them. That feels daunting, doesn't it? Just take one step closer to Jesus. And in that step, I believe you will find his grace that is sufficient for you and will help you take those steps. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for reminding us of what you have done. God, I pray that you would help us day to day today to begin to release the old self all the more, to not try to carry around our boxes with us anymore, and to take those steps that may just feel faltering, but those steps that are being taken to get closer to you. Not by our own strength, but in cooperation with your grace. God, I pray for the person who is hearing this who does not yet have a relationship with you. I believe they need the freedom and desire the freedom that you offer. So God, would you give us boldness to take steps towards you, whatever those steps look like. And as we celebrate these baptisms today, that you would burn into our hearts what you have done, buried, forgiven, and raised to walk in new life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We have some